Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Let's shout for joy for our salvation. Hallelujah! And it is well designed by the Lord. He arranged everything so that we could get to know Him. You feel the same, don't you? We shall shout for joy, since we know the Lord. How treasurable is that? I know God better. Now I know better in drawing near to Him. I can enjoy His personal love and relationship to me. Apart from this, it is a new beginning in our life. He draws us near to Him, and we want to love Him in return. Hence, we want to give the best to Him. Just like Mary, who broke her fast and offered ointment to the Lord. The Lord changed our life and made our life more and more glorious. I'm grateful to the Lord who gave us a new course of life. We have a new beginning. I really want to give thanks. So I have chosen a hymn in God's family hymnal, the first, Psalm 49, the Echoes of Thanksgiving. Shall we sing this hymn?
When I recall my journey in the past, He surely loves me. He surely loves me. When I was in the land of wilderness, He encircles me. He cares for me and keeps me. He keeps me as the apple of His eye. Who is greatly loved by God like me? He is gracious to me indeed. When my nest was stirred, the Lord's gracious hand, just like He is spreading out His wings, bearing me on His pinions. He put me in His bosom of love and laid His right hand on me. Whisper to me, I have searched you and known you. You are in my heart. Lord, your love have melted my heart. O my beloved, I am willing to break my fast, offer all the ointments to you. Even I die or endure many hardships, I will surely follow you faithfully, carry my cross and walk the ongoing journey, march forward into the glory.
I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to Him, or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with Him face to face. You can stop the recording. We'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, verse 1 to 18. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gates a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lamed, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. As there was a crowd in the place, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I'm working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This miracle was performed during a feast of Jews. Someone said it was Pentecost. Others said it was another Passover in which the Lord Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate the second Passover. What I mean, it was the second Passover after his public ministry. The first time should be in the Gospel according to John chapter 2. As we can see, the Lord Jesus walking into a pool in Jerusalem. This pool was named as Bethesda, where a lot of patients were lying there. And these patients seems to be seriously ill. In verse 3 mentioned, "In there lay the multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed." As you can see from the description of their illnesses, their sickness was incurable. When I read "in there lay," I knew that each of them had his own bed. Why did these desperate and pitiful people lie beside Bethesda? They were waiting for hope, because there was a tale that an angel would stir up the water of the pool at an appointed time. When the water moved, the first one who fell into the pool would be healed. After all, it is not clear whether this tale is real or not, as the Bible doesn't mention. Yet, this tale attracted a lot of desperate and poor people to gather there and wait for the opportunity. The tale was not effective. If it was really true, there wouldn't be so many hopeless people there who were not healed. When I read from verse 1 to 7 of this chapter, it sounded like there were so many people queuing up to see doctors in the hospital. But what they're waiting for was not the doctor, but waiting to jump into the water quickly when the water moved. This kind of treatment was very unusual. The tale of Bethesda gave this group of people the only hope. Unfortunately, this hope was not reliable. Speaking of Bethesda, in fact, the name Bethesda is quite interesting. Bethesda already has the meaning of the house of Christ, the house of mercy. It is a very good name, but it was ridiculous that only the first one who jumped into the moving water could be healed, which meant most people, especially those who did not have the strength, time, and ability to be the first one who jumped into the water, couldn't be healed. Yet, the reality of the situation was exactly the opposite from its meaning. There was no mercy at all. Because even if the tale was true, how could this blind, lame, and paralyzed jump into the water? Only those who had strong limbs, strength, or those who had money to hire helpers to carry them to be the first to jump into the water. In other words, those who were rich, the most powerful, and the healthiest people could be cured. If you were seriously ill and poor, then you wouldn't have a chance. Thus, it couldn't be called mercy. Thus, in my opinion, the tale about Bethesda was not true. Yet it reminded me, God is truly merciful. He takes special care of those who are weak and helpless people. For instance, orphans and widows. God even legislates to protect their lives. God is truly the God who cares for orphans and widows. He is full of mercy. It is said that Bethesda was the place that pilgrims must pass through. After passing through the ship gate, you reach Bethesda, but it doesn't mean people would stay there. But when you read this passage, it seems that the Lord Jesus stayed there for a while. He was observing and paying attention. He was merciful and saw a man who was lying there. The Lord knew that this person was sick for a long time. He then asked him if he wanted to be healed. First of all, I have a question why the Lord Jesus just asked this man who had been sick for 38 years but not the others. Why didn't Jesus heal others but him alone? Or you may have the same question. Well, I want to tell you that I don't know either, though I don't know the answer. But it doesn't mean I'm doubting the love of Jesus. I believe the Lord was merciful to them. In fact, we encounter problems in our life daily. There are problems behind every matter. Each incident has many problems. So what should we do? We don't have to wait for all these problems to be solved before we know how to live. The Bible has made it clear that we live by faith in the Son of God. Hence, our daily life is not about asking questions, but trusting in God. There are a lot of things which we don't know the reason for, but they couldn't cause us to have doubt in God. God has shown He is love. He is all-wise and almighty. He will give us the best. All we have to do is to live by faith and rejoice in the Lord day by day. In fact, the Lord Jesus asked the sick man if he wanted to be healed. Does anyone find it strange? Was it an unnecessary question from the Lord? Surely a patient who had been sick for 38 years wanted to be healed. You see, if you look at his reply, he didn't answer directly he wanted to be healed. Instead, he gave a lot of excuses and even complained that no one helped him and he wasn't the first one to jump into the water. Hence, let us not doubt the question of the Lord Jesus. Definitely, he didn't ask a stupid question. He just liked this patient to think whether he really wanted to leave or he already took things as they were and didn't want to change. When he realized that he really liked to have a change in his life, then he had to take action. Hence, I think the Lord Jesus asked the question was exactly what the man need. He liked to prepare his heart to exercise his faith through action and not just to wait for miracles and help from others. In fact, many brothers and sisters are in a similar situations. When brothers and sisters have difficulties, when they are stuck in a dilemma or spiritually, they feel frustrated and just wait for miracles to appear, waiting for God to save him, waiting for God to change the environment or waiting for God to turn the situation around. Brothers and sisters, very often I find the Lord Jesus asks us the questions that do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? I believe that our answer are yes. But if you don't take action, you don't come close to the Lord or pray to Him, do you really want to be healed? Truly, the Lord likes to bless us. He likes to help us and strengthen us. The blessing and the help of the Lord will work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, not that the Lord will perform miracles to change our minds nor force us to rise up. We shall have a willing heart to come before the Lord and let Him to influence us. We have to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit and be willing to change. When we love the Lord, we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That is to say, we love God by exercising our emotions and our willpower. Definitely, the Lord will not twist our mind nor control us like a robot. We love God with our hearts and respond to Him with our free will. The Lord loves us and he never forces us. He does not plunder our hearts by force. Brothers and sisters, I hope all of us can understand, and if all of us want to love the Lord, I would like to ask you to take action. Let's come before the Lord to draw near to Him and pray to Him, to tell you frankly that there will be difficulties, but the Lord will help you and strengthen you. The most crucial is whether you really want it or not. Do you love the Lord and do you want to gain the Lord? Hence, this man who had been sick for 38 years was healed by the Lord. As we can see, the healing of Jesus is not only healing the flesh, but the spirit as well. If only the body of that person was healed, but not the spirit, then his condition in later days would be even worse. Afterwards, when the Lord Jesus met him again in the temple, he said to him, "See, you're well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Obviously, it was a warning to him that his heart had to fear God unlike before. In fact, when I was reading it, I thought this man who had been sick for 38 years should be very grateful. But truly, I couldn't see his grateful heart towards the Lord Jesus, who didn't even know the name of the person who healed him and just left. Unlike one of the 10 lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he came back and glorified God loudly. He fell down at Jesus' feet and gave thanks to Jesus. But this man, who was paralyzed for 38 years, was like those 9 lepers who were cleansed and never came back to thank the Lord. But this was the true mercy of the Lord. He doesn't look at the reactions of man, nor does he look at the status of man. He still shows his kindness, even if they are ungrateful. He still heals them without hesitation. Those 9 lepers who were cured but did not come back to give thanks, they didn't get the leprosy shortly after. This was the mercy of God. If God came to show us grace only if we had behaved well, we should surely die. In that case, the Lord Jesus didn't come to crucify for our bad performance. Truly, we have to be grateful to the Lord, for we receive such a great mercy from God. Not only our sins are forgiven, but we became children of God and the darling love of the Lord. Truly, we couldn't simply take up the bed and walk. We should love the Lord and respond to Him. The Lord Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath. Thus, this story was not yet over. What is Sabbath? For the Jews, you cannot work on that day. Why? According to the law, that you can't take heavy things and travel a long distance. Thus, the man broke the Sabbath by taking up his bed and walking. These were the supplemental laws added by the Jews afterwards, in which the Sabbath was changed and became burdensome. More and more restrictions were added and getting more and more ridiculous and stupid. You see, it's normal for a man to return home once he has recovered from illness. Rightly, you should take up your bed as is yours. This is an issue of responsibility. How can you even ignore your responsibility in order to keep the Sabbath? The legalists have distorted the real intention of God in establishing the Sabbath. The purpose of the Sabbath is to let man rest and draw close to God, so that he can enjoy rest in the presence of God. Instead, man feels stress on the Sabbath now. I was thinking the good thing will become bad if our focus is wrong. Brothers and sisters, we shall focus on the Lord in all things. We shall live for Him. Therefore, the Lord Jesus also said, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." It is very essential to have a proper goal. Paul knew the goal in his life. He knew what he would get. All he wanted to gain the Lord and gain what the Lord had prepared for him. I believe the Lord really wants us to have Abba, to deeply enjoy the love of Abba like Him. Of course, the Lord likes us to complete the church, for the establishment of the church is the will of the Lord, to build the house after His heart. Brothers and sisters, Are these the goals in your life? Brothers and sisters, we have a proper goal, the proper direction, and we will never go wrong. Let us press on towards the goal. The last two verses of this paragraph are verses 17 and 18. But Jesus answered them, My Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was the Lord Jesus breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Abba. To be more specific, he was making himself equal with God. And Father and Son are of the same mind. Did the Lord Jesus not know that these words would offend the Jews? He knew, but he didn't hide the truth by taking the risk of being killed. And the most crucial is to tell us the truth. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He and the Father are one. He is sent by the Father to accomplish the salvation. He is God, and he is Christ sent by God. How essential is this, which concerns the salvation of you and me? The Lord did not hide the truth from us in order he could have an easy and comfortable life. He always took courage to strive forward, who presses on towards the goal as well. The cross was his goal at that time. He crucified on the cross for you and me to achieve salvation, so that we can become the dear child of Abba like him, to enjoy the same fatherly love. Brothers and sisters, it is so precious that we have the Lord who risks his life to tell us the truth. He brings us to the greatest happiness, which is the love fellowship of the Trinity God. He makes a sweet home appear. Well, how blessed we are. Brothers and sisters, that's all for my sharing. Truly, I hope you have some time to quiet yourself and to give thanks to the Lord, to be with him face to face alone. Let's have some time to draw close to him. May you enjoy this most precious moment. May the Lord bless you.